got to do is plug it up. It's recording. All right.
Well, it sure is good to be here, to be a part of the service, and it's my honor to be a part of this, and I'm thankful that I'm able to. I'm thankful that you have turned out, certainly not for me, but for Brother David, to honor him and what he's accomplished, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to honor him and what he's accomplished, and we sure do appreciate him and appreciate his testimony, and we're thankful that he is, I think I can call him a friend, can I?
Amen.
Is that okay? I appreciate that. I was a little worried about that one. I didn't know if I could go that far, but I am glad I can call you a friend. Amen. So let's look, if you would, just a minute in Romans chapter 13. And I want to say just a couple of things about Brother David, or Brother Walker. I don't want to be informal about this. And the Bible Doctrine Institute is a correspondence school. We do everything online. I think whenever you were doing it, did you do tape or did you do everything online?
Half and half.
Half and half. We had switched in the middle. So now what we have is we have a correspondence school with everything that's completely online. We do all of our grading and everything online. And I'm one of the guys that gets to do some of that grading. And I had the privilege of Brother Holden was in my homeroom class. Now, that didn't mean I was his superior. That just meant that he was in my class. And it was an honor to have him. And through him, I got to meet Brother Walker. And Brother Walker was in my homeroom class. And I think the reason we did that is because of North Carolina. They're afraid to put him with anybody else. You know, it's, you got to keep North Carolina with North Carolina. So but it was a real honor to have both these men in my class. Now, I graduated Bible school where Brother Josh attended Bible school. Now, I said his name so I could distinguish between dad and son. But I graduated Bible school in 1993 in Pensacola. And so then I went to help Brother Lentz with, at that time it was called the Blue Ridge Bible Institute in Valdez. And then whenever Brother Peacock, after Brother Lentz passed away and Brother Peacock took over, we changed the name of the school to the Bible Doctrine Institute, and that's what we try to do is we try to teach Bible, correct Bible doctrine, and that's hence the name. That's why we named it that. So now, what I want to read there, look in Romans chapter 13, and I want to say just a couple things about Brother Walker. And he says down there in verse 7, just one verse, and I think it's important that we remember things like this. He says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So now we come to honor somebody for their accomplishments. Now it's a big deal to have enough discipline to take a correspondence school, you know, by yourself. Where me and Brother Josh went to school, we had a bunch of compadres, peers, and we had, you know what, we had a constant challenge because we had men that were, you know, we were trying to outdo each other in kind of a sense, you know, and so it was a little bit easier for us. Now, I needed that, but now I don't know that I could have done what these men did because it takes great discipline to come home from work, go in your room and sit down and listen to audios and take those tests. It takes a great deal of discipline. So now this is an accomplishment. This is not, I don't want any of you to think this is a give me. This we don't have an accredited school, but this is hard work. These men do a lot of hard work and they study and they have to memorize a lot of Bible verses. So by the time they get out, I think they have probably memorized somewhere near 200 Bible verses. Is that about right? Do you... it's pretty close to 200 Bible verses. That's a lot of memory work that they have to do. They have to put a sermon together in every semester. There's 13 sermons they have to put together. That's a lot of work. That's a tremendous amount of work. It's tough to put a sermon together for Sunday, but now can you imagine doing that on top of putting together sermons for schoolwork and then getting critiqued by Dr. Peacock, and he's not gentle always. And that was meant to be funny. You're afraid to laugh because you're afraid he'll come up here sometime and say, what did Brother Wheeler say about me, you know? But he's very good at picking out the qualities of people and showing them how to improve. And he's excellent at that. He's a great mentor and a great leader, and I sure am thankful that I get to be around him. So now in the Bible says that we're to honor our parents. And I think it's important that we honor our fathers and our mothers. I didn't learn that till later in life, but I think it's important we do that. The Bible also says that we're to honor all men. And now that's a little tougher. I can honor my parents quicker than I can honor all men. We're to honor the elders that rule well. And so that's kind of what we're doing is now Brother Walker is not a pastor, but he is called to preach. And as far as I'm concerned, a call to the ministry is the highest calling in the land. Even above, now some of you may get mad at me about this, but even above presidents and kings. Because this is a high calling from God. Not to exalt us or to set us on a pedestal. It is an awesome responsibility that we have to preach and teach to people, because our words that we say are going to have an everlasting effect and everlasting value. So it's very important what we say to people. So we have to take that thing very seriously. And I believe that Brother Walker has taken that seriously. And I want to honor his, first of all, I'd like to say his testimony. I think he has a good testimony. I have been a kind of a part of, a little bit a part of his life, you know, and at least I got to be called friend, so that's a big deal, you know. And I've heard Brother Holden brag about him a lot, and that's good whenever your pastor brags about you. And if he's bragged about you, that's a good thing. And so I want to honor his testimony, and then I want to honor his faithfulness. Amen. I think he's a faithful person. I don't think it would be hard to convince any of you that Brother Walker has been faithful to this church. He's been faithful to Brother Holden. He's been faithful to the ministry. And above all that, he's been faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the important thing is that we all remain faithful. That is required in stewards. You know, if I want to keep it in the Bible, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I believe he has been that. Amen. He has been faithful. And you want to honor somebody that remains faithful like that. Now, some of you may say, now, I don't believe in all that public praise. And I don't believe in honoring somebody publicly, you know, because we are supposed to honor the Lord. And I can understand where you're coming from, because I'm from the mountains of North Carolina. But if you were getting the honor, you'd like it. If it was for you today, you'd say, oh, yeah, bring it on, big boy. Tell me more about myself and how good I am. So now this is for Brother Walker today. It's not for you. Amen. So now let's be honoring him today. Now, the other thing and the last thing I want to say about him is I'd like to honor his willingness. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a big deal whenever somebody is willing to serve the Lord. Amen. When they've got a heart, you know, that wants to serve God. And I think that his heart is bigger than his head. Amen. And, I was reading about a Pray and Hide. I don't know if you ever read the story about Pray and Hide. But they said that he prayed on bended knee quite a bit. It was a big deal. I mean, that was his nickname. And they did an autopsy when the man died, and they said that he was so moved with compassion for people that his heart was 2 inches out of place. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it sounds cool anyway. I don't know if it's true, but I like it. So we're going to go with it today. So now as the as a representative of the Bible Doctrine Institute and representing Dr. Peacock, Dr. David Peacock and Dr. David Walker in Florida, not this Dr. David Walker, because he's not. He's a bachelor, not a doctor. But we have a Dr. Walker that is the Dean of Students for the Bible Doctrine Institute. And so I have to clarify all the time which one I'm talking about. You know, if I'm talking about the one from Silver or the one from Florida, so... And what's really weird is both their wives are named Christy. Now, that's the strangest thing I ever seen in my life. So when I was setting up email for Brother Walker, I set up an email, David Walker student. And so Karen's got a phone number for Miss Christy in her phone, and it says Christy Walker student. Because we got to distinguish somehow, you know. But now I'd like to read this to you, and this is the Bible Doctrine Institute. This is to certify that David Walker has completed on this 6th day of November 2020, and that's when we had the graduation service, so that's when it's dated. It says, for his Christian character, studious effort, and fervent zeal, in both his academics and personal consecration to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has completed in a credible manner the requirements as prescribed by this institute, the theological studies, including preparation and delivery of sermons, rightly dividing Old and New Testament surveys, church history, and Bible cults. Let it be further known that he has received instruction from the authorized version, 1611 King James Bible, and has completed the following courses of study from John, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus, and in honor of his character and intentions, is hereby granted the degree of Bachelor of Divinity. Amen. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but that's a pretty cool-looking degree, isn't it? Brother David, you come ahead, and I think it would be appropriate, Brother Holden, if you and maybe Brother Josh, you guys come. And come ahead, Brother Walker. And I'd like for them to be here, too, as well, to shake your hand and congratulate you, because they've been a big part of your life. Big deal. And also, Josh received your degree at the graduation, just to go through the motions there. And I want to congratulate you on a fine job. And may the Lord bless you in the future, brother. Thank you, brother. Sure do love you and appreciate you. God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
Congratulations,
brother. Brother Josh, y'all bear with me for a second. I'm not much for writing speeches or writing down what I say. It bothers sometimes my wife. She wants me to be prepared. But I do thank the Lord for allowing me to receive this. I thank the Lord most of all that he called me to preach. Amen. And I know all you good people.
Amen.
Got Fall Cliff here. I've got Hedy Mountain here. I've got Bible Believers Church in Canton here. Amen. Glad to know all of them. It's got my family here.
Amen.
Got nearly my whole family here. So I do appreciate you. When I first started, when Mike first started coming to Canton, I've been going to Bible school, and boy, I knew a lot of stuff. I thought I knew a lot of stuff. I was going to go over and just impress Brother Mike. You know, of course, that's not what I had in mind to do. But Mike would ask me questions, and I'd be like, I don't know. And he'd be like, brother, ain't you studying? Don't you know? And had no idea that I was getting dementia, you know. But anyway, thank you for pushing me, brother. Don't ever feel bad about that. Mike was like, brother, you ain't studying. Something ain't right with you. But I thank God for Dr. Mike. Amen. I can say that now.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And should have been a doctor a long time ago. Amen. As smart as you are. But I do thank you. Thank my pastor. Amen. Tom Holden. And Josh, I do appreciate you for receiving this in Florida for me. I wasn't able to be there, and they kind of sprung out on him at the last minute. And he received it, and without hardly any knowledge of what was wrong with me. But I do appreciate that, brother.
Hey.
And we went down. When we went down to the Jubilee, the first time I had ever been there, I guess we went down the first time to 2007 to Pensacola down the Bible Baptist Church, and to the, they call it the Bad Attitude Baptist Blowout, and boy, that was something else. I'm telling you, that was something else. And that's the first time I met David Peacock. He was preaching down there, and I thought, man, I want to be like this fella. Man, I'm telling you, boy, that just tickled me to death. And I never will forget, I went up after the service one night and asked him to sign my Bible. And he said, son, I ain't no celebrity, but I'll sign it, and I'll give you some advice. And he signed his name, and he wrote down Romans 12, 1 and 2. And if you never read it, you need to look it up. Amen. Because we should present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord.
Amen, buddy.
Holy and acceptable.
Amen.
Unto him. And that's how we ought to live. Thank God for this. Glad he called me to preach, like I said. And I'm glad I've been a part of this church. I'm not able to be here a whole lot now, but I do appreciate it. I'm still called to preach.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
And we went down to Duke last week, and they said there wasn't enough evidence to call this thing frontal temporal lobe dementia, and there wasn't enough evidence to call it Alzheimer's. So it hasn't advanced real far yet. So hopefully I can still preach.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
In the mornings. I ain't no way I can do this in the evenings, but maybe in the mornings. Maybe I can preach. But I do appreciate you. I love you. And I thank God for every one of you. Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Man, I was going to clap for him.
Yeah.
Can we do that? Excellent job, brother. Excellent job. Now, I did get to grade his papers, and he did a fine job on his work. He was no slacker. He worried himself to death about it. He would he'd call me and ask me or send me a text message, have you graded it yet? Have you graded it yet? And the answer was usually no, I haven't got to it yet, but he did do a good job, and we certainly do appreciate his testimony and what he's done. And what he's done here, and I think what he means to all you folks. And you know, he's a good man.
Amen.
He's just a kind man, you know.
Amen.
He come over and shook my hand one day, and now I'm not a huggy-feely kind of guy myself, but he come and shook my hand, and he said, Brother Mike, he said, I love you. And he said, I ain't just saying that. He said, I love you.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
Sure does mean a lot to me. Yeah. I'm kind of unlovable at times, and if you don't believe it, just ask my wife. She'll tell you. But I sure do appreciate Brother Walker and his family. They are just the kindest, gentlest people I've known in a while, and they're a good example, I do believe. And if anybody tells me otherwise, I'm not going to believe you, so don't tell me. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 20 this morning. And I'm going to try to be brief, but I don't see a clock, so man, this is going to be tough for me to be brief. So if somebody holds up a sign and says it's 1:30, I'll stop, you know, well.
There's a microwave out there.
Is there? Okay. All right. We got a microwave. We're good. We're good.
Christian Barbie can take it.
Yeah. Yeah, Brother Walker, he told me, he said, now, man, you preach. He said, Christy can take it. So there we go. I've got his permission, so that's all we need, I guess. Huh? All right, so we're going to be in Acts chapter 20 this morning, and I'm just going to read a few verses. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read one verse. Let's just read verse 24. It looks like some of you are standing, so I'll wait on you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I think it'd be appropriate. Brother Walker, would you mind pray for us this morning? Will that be okay? You go ahead, brother.
Lord, we come to you once again. Lord, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you, Lord, for what's been done already. Good singing. Lord, I pray, God, that you just be with Brother Mike this morning as he breaks into the bread of life here and starts to preach to us. I pray, Lord, that you would just help him and use him as a vessel. I pray, God, that you'll just help him to deliver the message that you've given him. And I pray, Lord, that the people here would be receptive. And I pray, God, that you just lead us and direct us, Lord. I pray, God, that you just grant each need that needs to be met here this morning. Lead us and direct us, which in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I think the passage we have before us, it talks about totally surrendered and completely committed.
Amen.
And that's, you may not see that right now, but in just a few minutes, if you'll give me some time, I'll get around to that and you'll see what I'm talking about. Commitment's a big deal as far as Christianity goes. Commitment's a big deal as far as marriage goes. So I'm going to try to take marriage and use it as sort of an illustration to make my point. And I'm not going to be up in the air this morning, so don't get worried. I'm going to yell at you or nothing like that. That's what everybody accuses me of. You're so loud and you just yell at everybody, you know. And so this morning, I'm just going to talk to you. I'm going to give you a sharing session. How's that? That'd be good. Listen, in the bacon and egg sandwich, the chicken is committed, but the hog is totally surrendered. Now, there's a lot of people, they get saved and they get in for a little while. And just a little while. And we see a lot of people exit. Over the years, I've learned that I don't ask too much about people who used to be because it's always disappointing to hear what happened to them. And I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to be that kind of person either. And I believe it has a lot to do with our Christian character as the way that we, and it's not just Christian character, but it's our character. Because just because you get saved does not change your character. It changes your eternity. I mean, now, if you want to change some things in your life, you're going to have to pray and ask God to help you with those things. Our eternity is set and sealed and fixed, and we don't have to worry about that. And just like... Brother Jared Pilkington says, and he got the saying from me, so we're going to give me credit for the saying that he says all the time. And he says, there is nothing that a Christian can't do that a lost man can't do or can do except for one thing. Can't go to hell.
Amen.
A Christian cannot go to hell.
Amen.
And I hope that you're settled on that. I hope that you're established on that fact that once you're saved, it's not people come up to you and they say, do you believe in that once saved, always saved? Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that whenever I got saved, I am in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus is in me. And I don't have to worry about losing my salvation because it's not based on anything that I have done or what you have done.
Amen.
It's completely based on what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
I grew up in a culture, if you will, a family that believed that you could lose your salvation. And so for me, when I was 27 years old, I still believed that you could. And I grew up, I won't tell you the denomination or anything like that. We were Baptist. We just weren't our kind of Baptist. And me and my brother both, we grew up in that and we thought you could lose your salvation because that's what we were taught. But we weren't taught the Bible. And you see, if you get in the Bible and you start reading the Bible and you learn the Bible and somebody instructs you in the Bible and you're smart enough to listen to what they got to say and you learn about eternal security, it's a real blessing. It gives you peace. It gives you joy.
Amen.
Here, Paul, he wants to finish his course.
Amen.
See, his course ain't my course. I don't have to worry about going and getting beheaded because that's probably not going to happen to me because I'm going to be a wimp when it comes to stuff like that. You say, now, not me. Now, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to take it like a man. Okay, you take it. I'm not real sure I'm ready for the guillotine. Now, you see, everybody, you see, it's easy for us to say we'd do this, we'd do that. You don't know what you'll do until you get put in the situation. Now, Paul was, he loved the Lord, man. He'd already been stoned at Lystra and sent up to the third heaven. He's trying his best to get back there.
Amen.
You see, we ain't been there yet. I don't know what heaven's like.
Yeah.
I know what the Bible says about it, but I ain't been there yet.
Amen.
But I'm looking forward to going.
Amen.
But now when it comes to commitment, getting committed to God, I want to liken that to a marriage. I don't want you to approach Christianity like I'm going to try it until something better comes along.
Yeah, there you go.
Because a lot of people, that's the way they enter into a marriage. Well, I'll try her until the better one comes along. And you have this idea that, you know, I'm gonna see what she's like. And if she's a good cook, we'll keep her.
Bless you, Lord.
If she washes my dishes and my clothes, we'll keep her.
Bless you, Lord.
You know, she's probably thinking same thing about you, bud.
Amen.
If you can keep your dirty clothes out of the floor so I don't have to pick them up, she might just keep you. You know, that does go both ways, you know. But I mean, there's too many people, I think, they enter into that marriage relationship with the idea that I'm going to try this out and I'll keep her. And if I don't like her, we can always get a divorce. You know, maybe you shouldn't get married if that's the way you're going to approach the thing. You know, maybe she looks at you and says, I'll stay with him as long as he's got hair. When his hair falls out, I'm done with him. You know, some of you are going to be in trouble today. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going to stay with him as long as he don't get that old fat belly. Nobody laughed. You know, he's laughing on the bald head thing, but when we got to the fat belly thing, we ain't talking about that. And when he gets the fat belly, we're done with him, you know. I ain't going to look at the old ugly fat belly when he pulls his T-shirt down and it looks like a tiny T because it won't go over his belly button no more. I ain't looking at that in the living room while he's sitting there in his underwear with his feet propped up with a remote in his hand watching it. I ain't watching that. It ain't happening. No. I'll keep him till that happens. Then we're done with him. It's over with. You know, I think a lot of people, they approach Christianity that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve the Lord until something bad happens to me. And when something bad happens to me, I'm going to find somebody else or something else that can give me a better way. Because I think if you serve God, then all life ought to be rosy. And I got news for you. If you serve God, all life may not be rosy. There might be some rough spots in the way. There was a fellow in the Old Testament. His name is Jacob. You may know him. You know, he didn't really have a good testimony at the end of his life. When he stood before Pharaoh, he said, few and evil been the days, the years of my life. But do you know what the Lord did allow him to do, brother? He allowed him to raise up and bless Pharaoh. So it's kind of like at the end of the thing, he gave him just a little bit of spiritual blessing at the end of it. But man, he had a terrible testimony. Do you know that Jacob made a deal with the Lord one time and he said, as long as God will bless me, and as long as God, Genesis chapter 28, I think it is, and as long as God will give me, and as long as God will bring me back to the house of my family, then if he does all that, if he keeps his end of the bargain, then I will give him a tenth of everything that I got. And I believe there's a lot of Christians that way. As long as God blesses me, as long as God touches me, as long as God fixes all my problems, as long as I ring the little bell and the bellhop comes running, you know, and God's there on my dime, on my time, when I want him, then I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, you see, that ain't what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I'm not going to count my life dear. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going to serve Jesus till I draw my last breath.
Amen.
And we don't, none of us have any guarantees. I think a lot of people, they get saved and they got this odd idea because of the things they've been taught from the time they were young. And they've got these odd ideas about the Lord that just ain't biblical. And in the New Testament, we may have to struggle, we may have to suffer, we may have to go through some things.
Amen.
And I'm not saying those things are fun. There's no joy in any of that stuff. I don't like suffering. I don't like having a hard time. I don't like having to work. I don't like having to have a boss. Ain't nobody likes to get bossed around. I know, man, that's a hard situation right there. I don't know how you do that. You work with him all the time, you're around him all the time. I don't know how you do it, man. But now look, you know I'm kidding. You'd be a great guy to work for, no doubt, I'm sure. Look at the big smile on his, yeah, I get to tell him what to do in the morning. Both of them. Yeah, I get to tell both of them what to do in the morning. They're going to do exactly what I tell them to do. Now look, I don't like all the stuff that we have to put up with in this world. But if this world was utopia, why would we want to go to heaven?
Amen. That's right. That's
you know, all the trouble and the struggle and the trials and the temptations, that's what's making me look forward to heaven.
Amen.
That's why I wake up in the morning and say, man, I hate to go to work on Monday morning. Can't stand it. But you know, I've got hope that
Amen.
Maybe one Monday.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be great?
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you.
Glory.
I wish you'd come today. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? Man. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. Now, we've got an uncertain future. Here. We don't know all the things that are going to happen to us here. And look, don't be disillusioned that just because your president got in or he didn't get in, whatever way you wanted, don't be disillusioned that that is your spirituality.
That's right, brother. Amen.
That has nothing to do with the church or the spirituality.
Amen.
Don't be drawn in by the media.
Amen.
And can I say, without hurting any of your feelings, don't believe the propaganda.
Amen.
Believe the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, be more concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ than you are about what's going on out in the world.
Amen.
Now, I may not get all of you on that. I understand that. I know that some people, they're really drawn into that. But we as Christians, we ought to be concerned about a few things biblically.
Amen.
We ought to be concerned about a few things that are going to promote our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, right now, it might be a great time for us to be good witnesses.
Amen.
Because people are so confused, they don't have a clue what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Might be a great time for us to have an opportunity to witness to people and give them a track because they're so burdened with things.
Amen.
Oh, here, I've got somebody that can help your burdens. I got somebody, he can give you a home in heaven if this thing goes to pot, which it may do.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord. Mm-hmm.
Then at least you've got some hope for the future.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for, is the future.
Amen.
I'm looking for eternity. I'm not looking to, you know, plant my feet in this world.
Amen.
Because my feet are firmly planted on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, sir.
Now that's where I want to start out. So let's look here. Look back in verse 18. Now how can we do all this that I'm talking about and, you know, not counting our lives dear to ourselves and not putting so much value on our lives that we forget about the Lord? And then when the bad news comes, you know, I've had bad news. Y'all had bad news. You know, when the bad news comes, then it just rocks our world.
Yeah.
And it shakes us off of the very foundation.
Amen.
So now my first thing that I want to say to you is this. Don't let the uncertainty of an unknown future move you. See, he said, none of these things move me. Don't let that move you off of your foundation, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at verse 18. He says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day. See, that's the start of the thing. That's his foundation. He says, you know from the first day. This has to do with how we're established in the Lord. That's how we start out. I mean, we got a start and we got a finish date.
Amen.
And Paul's got both of them included here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know when my finish date is, and you don't either.
Amen.
None of us do. But I know that I had a start.
Amen.
One day I got saved and I got in.
Amen.
And if you got saved, you got in.
Amen.
And that's our start date. That's our established date. I was born again on August, I think it was the 24th of 1976.
Amen.
That was my start date. My birth date was August the 26th, 1963. But my start date, you see, when you get born again, you get a new start.
Amen.
Things change. It ain't the same as it used to be.
That's right.
Amen.
You see, I got put on a rock.
Amen.
And that rock is Jesus Christ. He is our firm foundation.
Amen.
He establishes you, he strengthens you, and he settles you.
Amen.
And the reason he does, whenever your heart is overwhelmed, Psalm 61, he says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Amen.
So when your world is rocked and it's shook and you don't know what to do, who do you turn to?
Amen.
You see, most people, man, I'm telling you, they've got this thing upside down and they go straight to the doctor. Or they go straight to the priest. Or they go straight to the psychologist.
Amen.
What you ought to do is go straight to God.
Amen.
Amen. Yes,
whenever we were in Kansas, I told you I wasn't going to yell at you. Man, this is just too good. Man, you're just mountain people. You shouldn't have sung them songs. That was the problem right there. You got that old mountain twang and you're singing, you know, and you sing through your nose and it just excites me. You know, and I can't. You know, a northerner couldn't say that to you because it offends you. I'm not a northerner. I'm North Carolina. That's as far north as I am. But now you sing through your nose, you know. Man, that's good stuff. There ain't no singing like singing through your nose. And if you can't sing through your nose, you can't sing.
Amen.
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 So that's what you shoot for next Sunday. You stand up here. You, now, Brother Mike said, sing through your nose, Brother Tommy. That's what we got to do now. We're just doing what he said.
Amen.
But you know, you and I, we've got the best foundation that was ever laid because it was laid by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it don't get no better than that, man.
Amen.
I mean, if I'm standing on Him and I'm in Him and He's in me and He's the anchor that grips the rock and He is the rock, how in God's name can we ever get out of Him?
Amen.
We're in Him forever, man.
Amen.
One time my granddaddy, you guys are going to get a kick out of this because it has to do with concrete. One time my granddaddy, he asked me, he said, son, he said, you reckon you can help me lay some blocks this afternoon? And I said, sure. He said, you know how to lay block? I said, well, sure, Papa. I'd never laid a block before in my life. The only thing I'd ever done was mixed mud from my uncles, and I'd watch them lay block. Well, I thought, well, how hard could it be? So when I got there that afternoon, now what he was wanting to do, he was wanting to build a wall at the, you know, the creek bed down there where the culvert went under the little driveway up to his house, and he was wanting to lay a wall, you know. Well, by the time I got there, he hardly had foundation laid. And he said, all right, boy, get with it. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to help you. He said, get with it. So now I started, you know, and I did what my uncles did, or I thought they did. You know, I got that old trowel out. I never even held a trowel up till that day. I got the old trowel out, you know, and I slopped it on there like they did. I slopped it on both sides, and I laid it down. You know, I made me a little trail, you know, down through there like they did, you know, and I pushed it down. I looked at that first one. I took the trowel edge like they did, you know, pushed it out of the way like they did, you know. I said, well, that ain't too bad. So I kept going. Well, by the time I got to the end of the thing, I stood back and looked at it, and it was... Man, it's all over. That was the first row. You should have seen the second row. Well, he just kept me letting me keep on building, you know. He didn't care, you know. It didn't matter to him. He was just excited that I was helping him. And when we got done with it, I said, well, Papa, I said, what do you think about that? And he said, it looks pretty good, boy. Now, we can go by there this afternoon on our way home, and that little old block culvert wall is still there. And there's a bunch of dirt behind it now, you know, and there's about, I don't know, there's probably about 45 years of water rushing down through there over that thing. But it's still standing. It ain't standing because of me.
Amen.
I guarantee you. It's standing because it was on a firm foundation.
Amen.
You see, that's what we've got that we can stand on, is a firm foundation. And that foundation is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He laid the foundation. We just build there upon.
Amen. Amen.
Now, my wall's crooked. I mean, if we stood back spiritually and looked at our walls and we compared walls,
amen,
you know, and we looked and we said, boy, I think mine's a little bit straighter than Brother Tommy's. Now, he's got a good wall and he's a concrete man, but I'm pretty sure mine's just, well, I don't know. That's out of place right there, ain't it? You know, probably in our wall, we start right. That's the way I did with that first one, you see. I started right by the time I got to the end. I didn't have no level, no string. I didn't know about that stuff. I started right, but I didn't finish too good. I had some bad spots in the middle, but when I got to the end of it, Papa was standing there. He said, maybe y'all do this. You see. Maybe on that second row or the third row, maybe y'all to. He never did tell me to put a string. Do you know that the Bible calls our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the plumb line over in Amos?
Amen.
He is the string.
Amen.
We lay everything off of His standard.
Yes, sir.
He is the standard. We can stand firm on our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can have confidence in Him.
Amen.
That's pretty good just for the first point, isn't it?
Amen.
Let's look there in verse 19 and 20. Now, if we're going to serve the Lord in an uncertain time with an unsure future, then we've got to stand firm on that foundation, what we were established on. The thing that Brother Holden has been preaching and teaching to you for years and years, you got to stand firm on that foundation.
Amen.
And then if you stand firm on that foundation, you know what God will do? God will strengthen you. And He will help you to be a part of that foundation. And then you stand straighter and more confident. But you're not going to get that in a week.
Amen.
That don't happen quick.
Amen.
I mean, I've been trying to do this for 30 years. 30 years. How long have you been doing it?
36.
You want to know how many people I got in my church? How many do we have? Eight? They tell me I have Wheeler counting. I'll look out at the crowd and I'll say, we got 12. They say, well, that's a little bit different math than I got this morning, you know. And so we have about eight in our little church. That ain't too big. I've been doing this for 30 years. I am now a doctor. I have eight people I'm ministering to. Am I not a success for the Lord? Just a roll over the top success. But you know what? I'm established on a rock. I can't fail. You see, we're all trying to win the race. You don't have to win it. You just got to be in it. And if you're in it, at the end of it, you are a winner. All you got to do is finish the thing. You're a winner. Everybody gets a prize. Well, not really, but you know, so we'll kind of say it that way to let them think they're going to get one anyway. You get one if you work for it. That's on where you're getting one. Stress has a way, and storms have a way of drawing your attention and your focus away from the Lord. First thing is stand firm. Second thing is stay focused.
Amen.
Look at verse 20, if you will. 19 and 20. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many, many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So it's our vision. I mean, this is the verse that we teach a 2020 vision out of. It's staying focused. It's staying focused on the Lord and not let things distract you. I mean, we live in a distracting age. How many of you got your phone with you this morning? Come on, just be honest. Don't lie about it. Everybody in here got one. How many of you got it on? How many of you got it in your hand looking while I'm preaching? Oh yeah. See, I've done watched him. He's been sitting here watching. He's looking at the news and whatever. I'm just kidding. It's okay. See, now he's apologizing to me. He says, has his phone out. That's the way it goes. But now, this is the distracting age that we live in. I mean, as soon as we get a text, we're like, oh man, what did they say about me? I'm so important.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm so important that I'm going to have to, you know, kill 14 people while I'm driving down I-40 because I got to read my text.
Amen.
I'm so important that I'm going to have to pull over and read my text because I'm so important that I can't wait till I get to the house.
Amen.
Listen, that's the age we live in.
Amen.
Everybody's got an Instagram, except me. Everybody's got a Facebook, except me. Everybody's got a Snapchat. You may have to help me on these because I don't know them all, except me. I don't know what Snapchat is. Don't know how to use it. I wouldn't know how to get to it if somebody told me. I don't care. I ain't going to use it. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do Facebook. I'm not going to do Prime Time. That's not me. I don't do stuff like that.
Amen.
I'd just soon be left alone and somebody not bother me with a text message that says I just had to go to the bathroom. Who cares?
Amen.
But that is the distracting age that we live in.
Amen.
So now when we sit down in church, we are so important and God has become less important in our lives, so that when we sit down in church, we have our phones kind of cocked to the side so that every once in a while we can...
Come on.
I believe it's vibrating. It's a vibrate. It was. I've got it on vibrate, but I got to... Every once in a while I got to kind of... it was... Very few of us have an excuse like my brother has. My brother has an excuse because he's a fireman. He's on call. So if he comes to church and he's looking at his phone, I know he's getting a call. Can't help that one, you know. Every once in a while he has to run out and go help somebody in the fire. Now, I could be a jerk about it and say, look here, pal, you come in, you're in. I'm sorry their house is burning, but you're here for the service. When you get done, you can go put out the fire, but we're done till I get here. When I get done, you're done. You can leave. You ain't leaving my church. It don't work that way, folks. You got to have some common sense. Come on now.
Amen.
But now you ain't that important.
Blessing, bro. Amen.
So now what I'm trying to get across to you in a very long roundabout way is that we shouldn't get distracted by things that go on in our lives.
Amen.
Stress and storms that have a way of distracting us. Here's Peter. He's walking out on that Sea of Galilee. You know, I had the privilege of going there one time. It was a real blessing to get to see it. I wouldn't go back, but it was a blessing to get to see it. And we did cross the Sea of Galilee, going to the other side on a boat. And out in the middle of that thing, you know, it's kind of a big deal, you know. And it was kind of wavy, and the day we were there, it was kind of wavy, and the wind is blowing. But it wasn't a storm like Peter was experiencing. But you know, Peter did get out of the boat.
Amen.
And he is the only other one who has ever walked on water.
Amen.
I don't care what any preacher tells you.
Yeah.
Only Peter and the Lord's ever walked on water.
Amen.
Now, some preachers would like to have walked on water, and some of them believe that they have, but I can assure you only Peter did. But you know what happened to Peter? You know the story. You've heard it a dozen times as an illustration. You know what happened to him? He took his eyes off the Lord.
Yeah.
And beginning to sink, the Bible says.
Yeah.
What does he say? Lord, save me. But he's sinking. You know why he's sinking? Because he took his eyes off God.
That's right.
Now let's just stay in the verse. Let's look in verse 20. What should we be focused on? Me and you, what ought we to be focused on? I mean, I've told you that our Bible Institute is called the Bible Doctrine Institute. I mean, we ought to be focused on something that's in the Bible. Right? Duh!
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
We are in a Bible-believing church, right?
Amen.
What did you think I was going to say?
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Look at verse 20. And it says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you." You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be showing the people.
Amen.
We ought to be showing the people, and we ought to be serving the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we ought to be focused on.
Yes, sir.
Listen, storms are coming. If you're not in a storm, you just came out of a storm. You might have a little lull right now, but there's another storm coming.
Amen. Amen.
Storms are on the horizon all the time, and they're not going to stop.
Amen.
But you're going to have to get determined to be committed to the Lord, that no matter what storm comes about, no matter what it is, that you're going to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then when you get the bad news, and brethren, I hate bad news. I can't stand it. I don't like to be around it whenever people give it. But it's coming.
Amen.
And if we live and the rapture doesn't happen, it's coming to us.
Amen.
We are not going to go out of this world easy for the most part.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to have some struggles, some trials. Paul says it right there. He says, many tears and many temptations.
Amen.
Job said this life is a veil of tears.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
We're going to go to the funeral home again. We're going to the hospital again. We may even have to go to children's hospital again.
Amen.
I mean, those are sad occasions. But if you do, don't lose focus on the one that founded you.
Amen.
It was the Lord Jesus Christ that established you and founded you. And don't lose focus of that. Don't lose sight of who He is. And don't quit serving Him.
Amen.
It's my personal opinion that people are fed up with nonsense.
Amen.
I talked to a young lady yesterday and she was completely confused. And I talked to her probably for an hour, I guess. It was at least an hour. And she had been going to a Pentecostal church, and they had her completely confused. And what's really a terrible testimony is she had been trying to go to a Baptist church, and they had her confused. She said, "Can I ask you some questions?" And I said, "Sure, no problem." She said, I went to that church, and they told me that I had to wear a dress or I couldn't come. She said, "If I come to your church, do I have to?" And I said, "Well, we'd like for you to be dressed."
Yes. Amen.
And pretty much that's my requirement. We'd just like for you to be dressed.
Amen.
You know, have your clothes on. You know, no Speedos, no shorts. You know, just have your clothes on. And outside of that, I don't care. I'd rather have them than their clothes.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, man, you know, Dr. Upman said it one time. He said that they had complained about this young girl that was in their class, that she was wearing these, what do you call those, culottes. And the guys were going to him and complaining because the rule says, see, you know these rule sticklers. The rule said that in Bible class, you know, the young ladies or the ladies had to wear a dress. And so she was a teenage girl. Now that's pretty commendable that a teenage girl is going to Bible school.
Amen.
In the first place.
Yes, sir.
And all these guys, you know, these uppity guys that knew better than anybody else was going to tell Dr. Ruckman like he couldn't see the young lady coming in church. And they were, so one night he gets up in the manner that he always did, and it scared me to death when he'd do it, you know, but he got up one night and he said, "Fellas," he said, "some of you been complaining about Sister So-and-so wearing her culottes, you know." He said, "I think you got a problem." He said, "I think you're looking too much."
Amen.
He said, "I think you're spending way too much time looking at the young girls, and you ought to be looking at your wife."
Amen.
Now, he said it with a little more eloquence than I just said it. You know, it was not quite as eloquent as I said it, actually. Because after he got done, I was like, "Ooh, Lord God, I ain't never telling him nothing. You know, I don't know if I've complained about anybody, but I ain't complaining about nobody." And that's the truth. Sometimes we start looking at things we shouldn't look at.
Amen.
You know, really, it's none of my business how your wife dresses.
Bless you.
Boy, didn't get too many amens on that.
Bless you. Bless you.
And it's none of your business how my wife dresses.
Amen.
My wife dresses to please me.
Amen.
And right now, she's pretty well pleasing me. Now, after a while, she may not. You know, things change, you know. And I've got my list of, you know, "Hey, sister, you do this and we're done." You know, we're on the road out, you know. She got her list of what I do, you know. If I snore too loud at night, you know, she's done. She smacks me in the frying pan, you know, if it gets too bad, you know. But you know what? She pleases me. And you know what I try to do in return? That's going to hurt some of you. It's going to kill some of you because you don't like stuff like this. I try to, in turn, please her.
Amen.
You know what I've learned to do? I have learned. I don't want to tell you. I have learned how to wash clothes. I have. And I try to help her. You know why? Because she works to help me.
Amen.
She earns a little bit of money. Now, it would be wrong for me to expect her to come home at night and do my laundry and cook my, boy, this is killing you, I can tell. Cook my supper and me never help her, and cook my supper and wash my dishes, and me come home, you know, after a long day because I work harder than she does. And sit down and prop my feet up. And, you know, one time whenever I don't know if I told you guys this, but this is a good one. When I was a young boy, you know, my granddaddy, he would sit in the chair with his tiny tee on and his underwear. That's where my impression came from, you know. And he would have a glass of tea that my mama would pour for him. So when he got about empty with his tea, he'd sit there and he'd shake his ice. And she'd hop up and she'd say, "Oh, bless his heart. He's so silly." And she'd run in the kitchen, you know. She's all of 4'5", you know, or something. She is a little short woman. She'd run in the kitchen and she'd come back in there, you know. And this is Karen telling me this story because I don't remember all the little details of it, you know. And she'd run back in there and she'd pour his tea and she'd look at Karen and she'd say, "He's so silly." So when me and Karen got married, you know where I'm going to this, don't you? So when we got married, you know, I was sitting in the living room, you know, my coat got empty, and I thought, you know, my feet propped up. I was not sitting in my tiny Tim underwear, though, I can promise you that. But I was sitting there, you know, and I thought, hey. And I heard the ice. I know she heard it, you know, and she just kept sitting there. I was thinking, man, that worked for Papa. This ain't working out too well for me, you know. And so in a minute, I looked at her and I said, she looked at me and said, you can get your own tea. I ain't getting up and getting your tea. I learned a valuable lesson that day. Don't expect your wife to do something that you can do for yourself.
Amen.
You know, I didn't marry a maid.
Yeah. Amen.
She's my wife.
Amen. Good for you.
And I love her.
Good man.
I didn't marry, a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. She's my wife.
Amen.
I don't know. You know, we got this thing about submit. You'll submit to me, woman, but God, or I'll tell you, walk to the house. Well, do some submitting today now, I'm telling you. You submit, you're going down, one the other. My wife told me, she said, you ever hit me? And she said, I'll leave you, but before I leave you, she said, I'm going to hit you with a frying pan.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I fear the frying pan. Because she ain't going to hit me while I'm awake. She's going to wait till I'm in the big snore. Like that. And she will beat me to death with that big old frying pan we got in the living room, in the kitchen. You know, it's not going to be good. Look, I don't care what you do in life. I don't care what kind of bad news comes. Storms come, no matter what it is. Has nothing to do with shaking iced tea. I don't care what it is. Don't lose focus on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Now, finally, let's look down there in verse 21. That little lady that I was telling you about, she, I think she is saved, but I'm not sure. And I tried to get her to give me a good testimony, and she was struggling. And I tried to explain some things to her, and she has heard so much legalism. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, that she's totally confused. And I believe that people are done with nonsense.
Amen.
I mean, I think, you know what she said? She said, I have no joy. You know what legalism will do? It'll steal your joy.
Amen.
You can't be happy in the Lord. And you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
We got to have some joy if we're going to make it. We can't go around gloom and doom all the time.
Amen.
Lift your head up, man. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Jesus did it all. You don't have to do anything. Lift your head up and say with confidence, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day.
Amen.
Man, and say it with confidence. For I can boldly stand before you and tell you that if I died right now, I'd know exactly where I would be.
Amen.
Don't allow the storms that may come into your life shake your faith in Christ Jesus. Look down at verse 21. This is my final point. I'm about done. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith. Faith, you see that, toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think I can talk to a man out of the Bible, and I can convince him that he's lost, a lost man. I think I can convince him that he's lost easy, no problem. I can even show him in Romans where he needs to have faith to believe the Lord Jesus Christ and that God gives him that faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
God gives that faith out.
Amen.
And I think I can convince him to trust the Lord with his soul.
Amen.
But it's a different thing to try to convince people to trust God with their life. I mean, I can talk to you about, you know, trusting the Lord with your daily bread as long as your cupboards are full, but when they become empty, then you get scared and you act a little bit different. But God is still God. Whether your cupboards are full or whether they're empty, it doesn't matter. God's still God. And we have to learn how to trust the Lord by faith to take care of us on a daily basis.
Amen.
And if you're going to go through the storms of life, don't look so far out in the future unless you're looking into eternity. Because we live in an uncertain world with an uncertain future.
Amen.
And we don't know what's going to happen, so don't look so far out and say, well, if this happens, that's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. We don't have a clue what's going to go on. And these guys that are predicting and prognosticating, you know, that if all this stuff takes place, then all this stuff's going to happen, they don't know.
That's right.
All they're doing is scaring people.
That's
scaring
right.
people into listening to them.
Amen.
And I'm saying, I want you to come away from that stuff. I want to call it junk so bad I can't stand it, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. Come away from that stuff and get your nose in the Bible.
Amen.
And reestablish your faith
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ that He can take care of you on a daily basis.
Amen.
He can provide for you. You know, have you ever read Psalm 78, Can God Furnish a Table in the Wilderness?
Amen.
Man, that great message that Harold Sittler preached and he turned that thing around and he said, yes, God can
Amen.
Furnish a table in the wilderness. Yes, God can take care of me daily. Yes, God can watch after me if I'm in the hospital. Yes, God can take care of my wife if I'm no longer here. Yes, God can take care of my children. God can do all those things.
Amen.
Not only can He save us, but He can help us daily.
Amen.
But you got to trust Him. Don't let your faith be shaken by the storms that come along. You just think about that storm that Paul has to encounter yet in Acts chapter 27 called Euryclidon. I'm not sure how you guys pronounce that here. I've struggled with that one the years, you know. Euryclidon, Euryclidon. I don't know how people say it. Is that what Euryclidon. Sounds like a dinosaur to me. That's the reason I say Euryclidon. I don't be like I'm a dinosaur man, you know. I'm not a dinosaur guy. No, okay. All right. I'm with you. I like our little banter here. I like you, brother. I don't know who you are, but I like you. You can go with me anywhere and preach. And you preach part-time, and I'll preach part-time. I'm just picking on you. But don't let your faith be shaken just because of storms.
Amen.
Don't let your common sense be startled just because bad news comes along. You know, one of the things that I've noticed about Christians is whenever they really get gung-ho for the Lord, I guess they got a meter. It's called a common sense meter, and they turned it off. You know, Brother Lance, he's the founder of the Blue Ridge Bible Institute, which turned into the Bible Doctrine Institute. You know what he used to say? He used to say, if it don't make sense, then it ain't Bible.
Right.
He said, if it ain't just down home country sense, then it ain't Bible.
Amen.
Oh man, that's pretty good.
Amen.
You know why? Because we get our sense out of the Bible.
Amen.
We're established in it. We're focused on it. And we believe it.
Amen.
I trust what God says in this book.
Amen. Amen.
I trust everything that's in it. I've got a testimony. I believe Paul wants us to finish our course. I think he wants us not only to finish it, but according to verse 24, he wants us to finish it with joy.
Yeah. Amen.
So that when we get to the end of it, you know, we're happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how our deathbed experience is going to be, but I sure hope when I'm laying there that I can have some joy saying, boy, it won't be long now.
Amen.
Boy, not just
Amen.
A few more minutes now, man. I mean, don't give me morphine. Just leave me alone, will you? Just a few more. If you give me morphine, I'm going to miss this experience. Just a few more minutes, man. I'm going to get to see the one that died for me.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how my deathbed experience is going to be. I'm probably going to be with the pumper, you know, going, give it to me, man. I'm dying here. I'm hurting. Give me the morphine, you know. I don't know how it's going to be, but I sure hope that when I get there, I can have some joy.
Amen.
You know, there's this fella back in 1557. He was in the stocks in prison. And he was going to be burned at the stake because he would not renounce Jesus Christ to the bishop. And so he wrote an epistle while he was in prison waiting. 8 days he had to wait. Every day in his little epistle, he said, I've had to wait another day. And he said, let me encourage you, brethren and sisters. He said, it won't be long now till we get to see our Lord.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, it kills me. Amen. This guy's waiting on the fire to burn him, and he said, it won't be long now. Man, I don't want to go out like that. I'm not looking for that stuff. I want to go out Cadillac style, man. You know, easy. You know, middle of the night, just quit breathing. It's all over with, you know. Easy. I'm not looking for that stuff. But that, down at the end of the thing, when he got done, what was so good about the whole thing was it gave his name, and he said, this epistle written by me with my own blood. I guess he had pricked his finger or something because he didn't have a pen and wrote out that thing. Man, it was like four paragraphs. I was thinking, he's excited about seeing Jesus. He don't care if he's going to suffer a little bit because the suffering is just going to last for just a second. I read one story about one of those fellows that was burned at the stake. And it was a younger guy. And they said when they lit the faggots, they called them, when they lit the faggots, they said that he held out his hands like this and bathed his hands in the fire. Man, that's faith. That's trusting Jesus for the here and now.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not worried about what you say about me. I'm trusting Jesus.
Amen.
I want to finish this course, my course, which is not Paul's course. My course, which is not Brother Holden or Brother Holden or Brother Walker's course. It's my course. I want to finish my course with joy.
Amen, brother.
You know, at the beginning of this, I told you that everybody's probably got a list of things, you know, that if your wife does them, you know, that you'll leave her for. There was this man that whenever he got married, he decided he would make a list of 10 things. And every time his wife made him mad, he'd go look on the list to see if it was there. And so, you know, one day she burnt the bread. So he went and looked on the list. Well, it wasn't there, you know. One day she didn't wash the dishes, you know. He went and looked on the list. I wasn't on the list, you know. Now, he did this for years. So at the end of his life, at his funeral, they went through his things and they found his list of 10 things that he would leave his wife for. And you know what they discovered? It was a blank sheet of paper.
Amen. Amen.
There was nothing there.
Amen.
If I could ask you a question this morning, what's on your list?
Amen.
What would you desert Jesus Christ for, like Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world? That there ain't, brother. There's no place like being in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Don't depart. We're too close to home to get out.
Amen.
Man, we've come too far to look back. We're almost there. Just like Richard said in prison when he was in stocks, don't lose heart, brethren. Just a few more hours. Just a few more hours. It's not too much further down the road. We're going to get to see the one who did all this for us, and we're going to get to be with him. Man, it's going to be good, ain't it, brother? I'm going to enjoy that day. I hope I'm here for the rapture, but I don't know that I will be, but I hope I am. Because when we go up, I'm going to be yelling at some people, see, I told you! I told you he's real!
Amen.
You see, I just want to do that. And I may not get to do that, so I did it for you.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that day that I get to see the one that died for me.
Amen.
And I, by faith, trusted him as my Savior.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face.
Amen.
I'm ready. I hope you are.
Amen.
Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Brother Holden, would you come and dismiss us however you see fit, brother?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, with our heart and our soul, we're so thankful for what we've been allowed to hear, to experience, and to know.